الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. قال جل وعلا: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: الحياء شعبة من الإيمان. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: إذا لم تستحي فاصنع ما شئت، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected elders, brothers, little ones, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Last week I was talking about the haram things that you and I expose ourselves to when we go online, and I gave you the example of zina, and then talking about the different types of zina that we expose ourselves to, I gave you the example of pornography. This week, inshallah, before I continue talking about the evils and harms of this modern technology, I'm going to try sharing some guidance, Islamic guidance, with regards to sexual relations. And the reason being, as I mentioned last week, and as stats show, there's not many people on the dunya at this moment in time that doesn't expose themselves to this filth. And because we watch this filth, I mentioned last week, we think what we see is halal. And when youngsters get married, that's exactly what they're expecting from their wives. And when reality hits them, they're very, very disappointed. And because they're disappointed, before you know it, the marriage comes to an end. So that's one reason. Second reason is, our children at this moment in time are exposed to all sorts. And believe me, all sorts. Children as young as the age of 5, balki children as young as the age of 3. They are exposed to things that you and I were never exposed to as children. I mean, at this moment in time, as I address you and you listen to this reminder, in California, they're going to teach children at the age of 5, there are 15 different genders. And if the law is passed, these children will not be able to opt out. They will have to attend these lessons by law. So they will be taught there are 15 different genders. I'll give you the names of a few: trans, gender queer, non-binary, gender fluid, transgender, gender neutral, bigender, third gender, and many, many more. And these are children at the age of 3. I'm sure majority of you here are probably never even heard of these words. Okay, most of these words, you probably never even heard of them. And majority of us here, as we were growing up, we were only exposed to one thing, that there are two genders. You're either male or you're either female. In England, in September 2020, every primary age child will be taught relationships education and health education, and every secondary age child will be taught relationships education and sex education. In a nutshell, they'll be taught RSE. Relationships, which were once upon a time looked down upon in this country or forbidden, are now no longer forbidden and looked down upon. It's a changing world. But okay, the changes that are taking place in this modern world, I don't think any inhabitant on this dunya can actually keep up with the change and the pace of this change. This is at this moment in time. What tomorrow brings, only and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. At this moment in time, as I address you, you'll be surprised to know or learn there are countries at this moment in time where fulfilling your desire with an animal is not banned. So this is why I say only Allah and Allah alone knows what tomorrow will bring. The world is changing very rapidly, and our children are exposed to everything. The only thing that our children are not exposed to or know are the teachings of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to this subject, with regards to relationships and sexual education. I assure you, other than this, they know everything. I mean, once upon a time, what we would do is we would wait for our children to become baligh or get close to the age of buluugh, the age of puberty, and as parents, fathers, and with their sons and mothers with their daughters, we would sit down with them and we would explain to them the masail that concern them after buluugh, once they reach the age of puberty. And what we would do is, when our children got to the age of marriage, when they were ready to get married, we would sit down with them and we would discuss with them and we would explain to them and we would give them the teachings of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to marriage and what happens thereafter between husband and wife. That was once upon a time. It's important now that as parents, mother as well as father, that we realize how the world is changing and we rise up to the challenges of the modern world, and we share with our sons as well as our daughters the teachings of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to relationships education and sex education and health education. Every parent knows their child best. It's important that you bond with your child, and it's important that you know everything related and concerning your child, and whenever you feel is appropriate to share the guidance of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's important that you rise up to this challenge and you share the guidance with your children. If for whatever reason you're unable to do this, either because you are ignorant with regards to the teachings of Allah and His Rasul, you don't possess the right knowledge, or you feel it's too much for you, you can't do this because of haya, modesty, shyness, then I advise that you accommodate and you facilitate. Come as come, you approach your local imams and your female scholars, who inshallah will happily be willing to share this guidance with your children. Islam, I mean, this is something that I wouldn't have touched upon a few years ago. But you have to rise up to challenges. You can't be afraid. You can't just ignore things. If you think you will ignore them and they'll just go away, then there's no fool bigger than you and me. These things are not going away. You know, this modern technology is not going away. We have to rise up to the challenges and do the best that we can in the circumstances that we live in and societies that we've chosen to live in. Islam is a complete way of life. Islam is not just about worship, you know, offering your five daily prayers. That's not just Islam, that you read your Fajr, you read your Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. At the same time, Islam is not just about fasting in the month of Ramadan. Islam is not just about giving zakah. Islam is not just about performing Hajj. Islam is a complete way of life. From the moment you enter this dunya to the moment that you leave, there are teachings of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there's guidance for every aspect of life. There are teachings with regards to salah. There are teachings with regards to taharat, purification. There are teachings with regards to marriage. There are teachings with regards to divorce. There are teachings with regards to politics. There are teachings with regards to compensation, and there are teachings with regards to law and trade, which type of tijarat is permissible and which type of tijarat, business, is not permissible. There's guidance for everything, so much so that even when you relieve yourself, there is guidance and there are etiquettes. On one occasion, a polytheist, he mocked Sayyidina Salman al-Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he said to Sayyidina Salman, لَكَدْ عَلَّمَكُمْ نَبِيُّكُمْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى الْقِرَاءَ, that it seems to me that this man that you call a Nabi, he's taught you everything. So much so that he even teaches you the etiquette of how to relieve yourself. So Sayyidina Salman al-Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, أَجَلْ, indeed. This is nothing for us as Muslims to be ashamed of, that our Nabi teaches us how to relieve ourselves. This is something for us to be proud of, that our deen is kamil, mukammal, it's been perfected, there's no weakness inside our deen. Yeah. In our deen you will find everything, you will find teachings, but okay, right till the day of judgment, whatever happens, you will always find a hal and a solution and guidance and teaching in our deen with regards to that. And indeed, our Prophet ﷺ has taught us etiquettes that when we relieve ourselves, whether we're urinating or excreting, we should not be facing the Qibla, and nor should we have our backs towards the Qibla. And the Prophet ﷺ has taught us that when we clean ourselves, that we should use our right hand to clean. So there are teachings for everything, and there are teachings for RSE, relationships and sexual education. So I'm going to mention a few points. I don't know how much I'm going to be able to cover today, What I've allocated today and next week, I'm just going to mention a few pointers, not necessarily in any particular order. This is just some guidance, some teachings of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I would like to share with you with regards to this because of the challenges that we have today. Now the first thing that I like to mention is, and this is very, very important, because this is what sets the bar. Whenever you talk about things of this nature, I want you to remember the hadiths of the Prophet ﷺ, Al-haya wa shu'batu min al-iman. That modesty, haya, is part of iman. And at the same time, I remember the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَصْلَ مَا شِئْتَ. Now when a person doesn't have the haya, modesty, then you know what? He won't stop at anything. He won't stop at anything. There's no barrier. He'll just go on and on and on and on. And at the same time, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيِّيٌّ سِتِّيرٌ يُحِبُّ الْحَيَا. That Allah is full of haya. Allah has a lot of haya. Very modest. And Allah loves haya, Allah loves those that are modest. I want you to remember these teachings. Last week, I touched upon it and it was time for salah. I was talking about how bashful and how modest and how shy the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were. And I gave you example of Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala an, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, should I not be shy from a man from whom the angels are shy of? Such was the haya of Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that even when he was inside his house and the door was locked, he wouldn't uncover himself to put wool over his body. Balki such was the haya of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, okay, when Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu would go to relieve himself, would go to a lavatory, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu would lower his head. Because he would feel shy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zahir about that, when you're going to relieve yourself, you're going to expose yourself somewhat. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, shy of Allah, he would lower himself. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala was so bashful and so shy. Now Sayyidina Ali, he himself says, كُنْتُ رَجُلًا مَذَّاءً. He was married to Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now he says, كُنْتُ رَجُلٌ مَذَّى. I would discharge a lot of madhi. Now madhi is a type of discharge, normally which comes out when you're playing with your wife and you're excited. And normally after that, a person satisfies his desire with his wife. The liquid that comes out then is called madhi. Okay, I mean, I normally say it increases your madha. That's why it's called madhi. Now, so he says, I used to discharge a lot of madhi. Now, because he was married with the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, his haya prevented him from going to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He felt shy. He didn't feel comfortable in approaching the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to this. But at the same time, he was in need of knowing, what does Islam say when a person discharges madhi? Is it pure? Is it impure? Does it break wudu? Does it not break wudu? So what he did was approach Sayyidina Miqdad radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Miqdad, you know, I don't feel that I'm in a position to approach the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, I'm married to his daughter, so I'd be grateful if you can approach the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on your own behalf and ask him this question with regards to madhi. He did so, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed him that this, you know, this liquid is impure. So when you discharge, if it touches your clothes, you'll have to wash your clothes. Having said that, you don't have to have ghusl. You have to, it breaks your wudu, you will have to perform wudu. But the reason I'm narrating this is, look at the haya of Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Abu Musa al-Ashari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, such was his haya, that what you call it, he would take a bath in a dark room. You know, in those days they didn't have light, so when it was dark, it was pitch black. But in spite of this, he wouldn't stand up straight till he was fully covered. But on one occasion he saw some people standing in water without their lower garments. And he said, if I were to die, then be resurrected. Then die again, then be resurrected. Then die again, and then be resurrected. That is more easier and more dear to me than do what these people are doing. Look at the haya of our mothers, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Such was her haya
that I'm sure you're aware that the Prophet ﷺ and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala were buried inside her room. So when the Prophet ﷺ was buried inside her room, she was very casual in terms of her clothing. And she would say, "Yo, it's only my husband, the Prophet ﷺ, and it's only my father." Yet when Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala passed away, and he was buried in the same room next to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, she was very, very cautious, and she would only enter the room when she was fully clothed out of haya for Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. Alaki Sayyidina Umar was not alive, Sayyidina Umar was buried inside his grave. Such was the haya of Fatima radiallahu ta'ala, that on occasion she went to ask for a khadim. So she came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she wanted a khadim to help them in their chores. So she came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, "Ma ja'a bika ya bunayya?" "Oh my daughter, what brings you?" Yeah. She felt so ashamed and shy that she couldn't ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a khadim. She said, "Ya Rasulullah, I just came to say salam to you, my father." Ibn Sirin, such was the haya that he had, he says, what do you call it? That, you know, in my entire life, I've never satisfied my desire, had intercourse with anyone other than Umm Abdullah, and that was his wife. And he says, you know, this applies whilst I was awake and even whilst I was sleeping. And like, what choice does a person have when you're sleeping? You don't have a choice in the dream that you see. But okay, look at the level of haya and modesty. He says, even in my dream, if I were to see a woman which is not halal for me, immediately I would turn my gaze. Yeah. So these were the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is what sets the bar. And this is why I'm mentioning, whenever we talk about this subject, we never forget the teachings of Rasulullah. Al-hayaa shu'batun min al-iman. Because this is what sets the bar. If this is the bar that you set in terms of your the words that you use when you're talking about this subject, can you imagine the bar that you will have when you actually execute these words into actions? And the reason I mention this, because you know as well as I, how careless people are in this regard today. You will have youngsters that do not hesitate. You know, gharat has gone from this ummah. You know, sense of shame, dignity, honor. You know, I don't like saying this. Bighairati is arm. You know, people don't have... You know, once upon a time, you know, we grew up with fathers that, mashallah, were very, very sensitive with regards to their daughters. You know, their daughter was their izzat. It meant everything. They could not tolerate, defamation or anything, tarnishing their izzat and the izzat of their daughters. I mean, we're the offspring of these same adults. So only, 15, 20 years down the line. You will, and I've heard this many times, that's why I'm addressing it. Many, many times. Today you will see youngsters, they will satisfy their desires with their wives, and then they'll tell their friends about it. And in detail, that this is what I did last night and this is how it was. I mean, if that is not bighairati, then what is? Balki, you know as well as I, it's gone, forget talking about it. It's got to a stage where they will actually record it. And they will send out videos. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna min asharri nasi manzilatan inda Allahi yawm al-qiyamah. Al-rajul yufdi ila imra'atihi wa imra'atu tufdi ilayhi thumma yunshiru sirraha." The most evil in the sight of Allah on the Day of Judgment will be a man who satisfies his desire with his wife, and his wife satisfies her desire with him, and then he broadcasts it. He reveals what happened in that private chamber with his friends, and he tells others about it. There's no one more evil in the sight of Allah than this person. Look at the haya of Allah. I said, "Inna Allah hayyun." You know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this subject, look how Allah talks about it in the Quran. Let me share with you, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about it, how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would talk about it, how the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala ajma'in would talk about it. I mean, a verse of the Quran, just as an example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, "Nisa'ukum harthul lakum, fa'tu harthakum anna shi'tum." Subhanallah. Look how beautiful Allah expresses Himself. نساؤكم حرث لكم that your women are a place of cultivation. Your women are a place of cultivation. فَأْتُوا حَرْثَكُمْ أَنَّ شِئْتُمْ. Come to your place of cultivation however you wish. Look how beautiful Allah expresses Himself. That your women are a place of cultivation. From this we learn that one of the objectives when a person satisfies his need with his wife is that we bring in children and help humanity and this dunya to continue right till the day of judgment. But at the same time, so beautifully Allah tells you how to do that. Look at the language Allah has used. Your women are places of your cultivation. Now, Zahir Bata, you need to sow a seed. Where will you sow a seed? That seed will be able to cultivate and something will grow. The woman will conceive only in the front passage. So Allah indirectly has told you which passage that you can come to. And so beautifully at the same time Allah has told you, فَأْتُوا حَرْثَكُمْ أَنَّ شِئْتُمْ. Come to your place of cultivation however you wish. Allah is telling you, as long as you're coming to the place where you can sow a seed, it doesn't matter how you come. As long as you're inserting in the right passage. Now look at the language. It serves his objective. Look how beautiful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains. Another verse of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about dowry and how much dowry a person should give. So there's a scenario. وَإِنْ طَلَّقْتُمُوهُنَّ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ تَمَسُّوهُنَّ وَقَدْ فَرَضْتُمْ لَهُنَّ فَرِيضَةً فَنِصْفُ مَا فَرَضْتُمْ إِلَّا أَنْ يَعْفُونَ. Allah says, if you divorce them before you touch them and you fix a dowry for these women, then you will give them half of what you fixed. Now look at the verse. وَإِنْ طَلَّقْتُمُوهُنَّ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ تَمَسُّوهُنَّ. If you divorce them before you touch them. The word in Arabic is mas. Mas literally means to touch. Here it's not referring to touching like this. It's referring to sexual touching. It's referring to satisfying your desire with your wife. It's referring to intercourse. But look at the word Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using. Likewise, in the Quran you'll find Allah has used the word nikah in place of it. And like you and I know what nikah means. But Allah has used the word nikah, but he's referring to intercourse. Yeah. So it's important, inshallah I'm going to continue with this next week. It's important that whenever we talk about this subject, we maintain haya. I'm not talking about jawaz, adami jawaz here. You know, what's permissible and not permissible. Yeah. Even I know, and you know, to openly talk about it is permissible. But what I'm talking about here is haya. That believers, al-haya shu'batun min al-iman. They should adorn themselves with this sifat of haya. Because I was mentioned last week, you know, this sifat is what distinguishes, one of the sifats, one of the attributes that distinguishes between humans and animals. Animals don't have haya. They just fulfill their desire. They don't know right and wrong. They don't feel shame. That's why openly they'll do what they do. And I told you last week, that you know, certain animals won't even spare their mothers. Whereas believers, especially believers and humans in general, have haya. And it's this haya that restricts them in falling short in fulfilling people's right and in falling short in fulfilling Allah's right. And it's this haya, when a person has haya, yeah, you know, he'll be ashamed of Allah. I mean, for example, you know, a story comes to mind of Amir ibn Abd al-Qais. So they said to him, oh Amir, you know, you sleep at night and you sleep outside. But, you know, aren't you afraid that some lion will come and eat you alive? So he says, I'm ashamed of Allah that I fear anyone other than Allah. It's levels of haya. The more haya a person has, the less sin he will commit because he will be ashamed of his Allah. How can I show face to my Allah? Yeah. He'll have that guilt inside his heart. So it's important that we raise the bar when it comes to this particular attribute. Because when we've raised the bar here, inshallah, when you actually do the amal, the deed, there'll be haya in that. Also, inshallah, give me the tawfiq. Allah give you the tawfiq. We'll continue from here next week. And just as a reminder, the brothers are sending biryani outside. Again, it's to help next door. Everyone is requested to help these brothers in there.